Inner Ideas Matter segment, we take time just about every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today, we talk about some of the issues that shape misperceptions of Muslims in the United States and about the Dialogues Across Divide series about these issues taking place this fall throughout Western Massachusetts and supported by Mass Humanities. Malaika Samthani is with us this morning. She's Executive Director of Critical Connections, the nonprofit organizing the dialogues in partnership with the Karuna Center for Peacebuilding. The first event will take place on September 15th in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, and will address different kinds and causes of violent extremism in the United States. The second event is on September 28th in Amherst, Massachusetts, and we'll tackle Islam and homosexuality. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Malaika Samthani to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Very nice to have you on the program. So how did this all come about and your participation in it of looking at of what Critical Connections is doing and ultimately how this could become a broader conversation for the community?
Sure. Joe, Critical Connections was founded about 3.5 years ago because I felt that here in Western Massachusetts, there weren't enough opportunities for the larger community to learn about Islam and Muslims and what was going on in the Muslim world. And yet anti-Muslim sentiment has been steadily increasing, you know, since September 11th, 2001. And there weren't too many platforms available where people, Muslim, non-Muslim community members could come together and discuss these issues in a more nuanced manner. A lot of information that people get about the Muslim world from the mainstream media outlets is not exactly nuanced. There's a lot of misinformation. It's not always accurate. And they're always sort of condensed into sound bites. And so I started Critical Connections to sort of convene events around Western Massachusetts where people could engage with these issues with experts, but also with each other and learn about social, political, and religious trends in the Muslim world through these discussions.
When you think about this in a broad sense, just over the last year or so, I apologize for doing this, but I am going to bring up Donald Trump. Has that made your efforts easier, meaning that there are more people who want to clarify and talk about it and understand it? And if there is anything good to come out of the comments and statements that he has made regarding Muslims and Muslim Americans, that there are more people who are interested in having a broader conversation?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the Trump phenomenon is rather interesting, and it has sort of affected our conversations and the kinds of conversations we've been having. You know, when I started this 3.5 years ago, I had no idea that 3 years down the road, this would become particularly relevant, the need for such an organization and for such a platform. What Trump has actually done is, yes, I feel like, he's made some very controversial, some very vitriolic remarks against the Muslim community. And that has had two sort of outcomes. One is that there's been a huge outpouring of support across Western Massachusetts, across the country, for Muslim communities. And so there's been a lot of outreach, and people have gone out of their way to really come out in solidarity and in support of the Muslim community. On the other hand, what's also happened is that his sort of very divisive rhetoric has allowed a certain segment of the population to feel more at ease with airing their concerns and fears about Muslims. And so that, I feel, is almost a positive because it has allowed for a more candid conversation. And I'll give you an example. I mean, the first event that we had, as part of the Dialogue Across Divide series was actually in May. And this is, of course, funded by Mass Humanities. And it was, we had a wonderful speaker, Peter Gottschalk, who's a professor at Wellesleyan, who talked about his book, and that deals with the history of religious persecution of various faith communities here in the U.S., including including Quakers and Jews and Catholics. And when we advertised that event on, you know, sort of local in local newspapers, from the comment section, we found out that there would be particular individuals who would show up at our event and who identified as self-identified as Islamophobes, as people who harbored a lot of anti-Muslim sentiment. And so, you know, we were actually, we welcomed that. And so at our event, and the way we structure our events is that we have our speakers speak for a few minutes, and then we divide up the audience into small groups, so that they are also able to engage with each other around some of these issues. And so, and usually, you know, our audience is made up of sort of Muslim and non-Muslim members. And so it really allows for that opportunity for that intercommunal interaction to take place. So some of these individuals who had aired very, you know, vocally anti-Muslim sentiments, they were there. And we really sort of, you know, let them know that this is a safe space where they can air their grievances that they have against Muslims. But because of the small group discussions that took place during the event, you know, it was a wonderful interaction, because by the end of it, some of these individuals were exchanging business, you know, cards with the Muslim community members in the audience. They had been invited to the local mosque for iftar dinner. And so there was a lot of that kind of interaction that took place. And so we're really hoping that, yes, this is a very divisive election cycle. It's brought out a lot of bigotry, a lot of hate and all of those things. But we really hope that this, you know, we sort of seize the opportunity in this moment where there is this greater need for clarification, greater need for understanding, and a greater sort of propensity among people to sort of come together and talk about these issues, even if they don't agree with what's going on.
How much of it do you think is bigotry and hate? And I'm talking about the people who come to these discussions to have a conversation specifically. And how much of it is just being unaware, of not knowing, of broadening your horizons to understand what another culture is like?
Well, absolutely. I mean, what I have, since we started 3 years ago, we've had so many discussions around very contentious and very controversial issues related to the Muslim world, but that we feel, you know, affect intercommunal perceptions of each other. And a lot of our events, again, they take place in Amherst, Northampton, around the Long Meadows, Springfield area. And many of our audience members are really there to learn, to sort of deepen their understanding. There is such a showing of, you know, critical thinking and really wanting to engage with these issues to learn more about them. And even like some of, you know, the recent events where we've had a few individuals who've sort of, you know, have been very vocal about how they feel about Muslims and in a not a very positive way, we feel that, I mean, the hate and the bigotry is really a function of fear. And going back to that same event that I spoke about earlier, you know, one of the individuals there said, well, I'm a veteran and I don't want my grandsons to be fighting in Muslim lands when they grow up. And so, you know, it was a very personal, it was a very real fear for him. And so I think these conversations have sort of allowed that kind of exposure of of different viewpoints. But mostly we found that, you know, people are really wanting to engage and learn more about the religion, more about the community. And we just find that very refreshing. And frankly, Critical Connections could not have existed without that showing of support from the larger community.
When it comes to that support in the community, do we sometimes get, this is a geography question, do you think that we sometimes get a false sense of security because we're in the Northeast and we tend to be a little more liberal and a little more progressive and a little more open to discussions like this than you would in a redder state?
Absolutely. And I feel like we are in somewhat of a bubble here in Western Massachusetts, and especially like, you know, towns in New England in general, and then towns like very progressive towns like Northampton and Amherst, and, you know, where there is that showing of support. And we feel that there is, you know, if we did move to a particular other parts of the country, that the showing of support would be perhaps less. However, we've also found that even though the audience members that we normally get are highly educated, very progressive in their thinking, even then there isn't always that depth of understanding around these issues as perhaps there could be. And I would say, especially about women's rights, I feel like a lot of people, you know, very progressive organizations, even within Amherst and Northampton, you know, if we had a, an event called Do Muslim Women Need Saving? Because we feel that sometimes, you know, especially sort of some of the feminist organizations and those advancing women's rights are against women covering themselves, are against the hijab, are against the niqab, or perhaps against the burkini even.
Yes.
And but you know, so we try and sort of, you know, turn the lens around a little bit to sort of say, well, what does that say about us if we are limiting a woman's freedom to choose what she wants to wear? So so we sort of challenge them in that respect as well. So we don't always find that there is a, you know, a homogeneity in terms of views even within the progressive movement. And so we sort of challenge people to sort of critically think about their own biases and their own prejudices, even when, you know, people feel that they're very progressive and they know, you know, how certain cultures various aspects of a particular culture. So so we try and engage, sort of encourage that kind of critical thinking.
I mean, the news that came out just about 15, 20 minutes ago from the BBC was that the France's highest administrative court suspended the ban on the burkini. And is something like that, I mean, it can be, we can think of it as just silly when we look at the overall problems that we have in the country, or a small matter, but all of those things do matter, don't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I mean, what France did, like, you know, initially in sort of imposing that ban was really, you know, sort of limiting a woman's right to choose. And I guess the principle here is really empowerment. You know, so if you're claiming to be secular, and if you're claiming to advance women's rights, and if you're claiming to be sort of upholding and being this bastion of sort of, you know, of values where you allow everybody to choose, and you know, so by imposing that ban, you really are limiting that that principle and violating that principle, in fact. So I'm really hoping that even though, you know, according to polls, a vast majority of people in France were in favor of the ban, that, you know, the administrative court, the highest administrative court, suspending that ban, I hope would have some, would again create more of a conversation in that country about what exactly is going on and sort of the hypocrisy of the ban itself.
For people who want to get involved, not only through these dialogues across divides, but even in critical connections, what's the best way to start?
Well, I would say, you know, please, we advertise our events widely, and we, and mostly for the general public. We would love for people of all stripes, of all, you know, persuasions, to please come and attend these conversations. Again, they're very participatory. We always have experts in the room, sort of renowned experts in the room, but we also allow a lot of time for audience participation. And so please come to these events, learn about them if you're interested. We're always looking for volunteers. We have wonderful interns working for us from the Fife College area. We have volunteers. Currently, our program director, Bernie Pelletier, he's, you know, he's been with us from the very beginning. We have Muslims, non-Muslims, you know, working for us. So this is a very sort of communal effort and, you know, collective effort. And we would love for many people to sort of learn about this and be part of this movement that we've sort of started.
Malika Samthani, I want to thank you very much. You're Executive Director of Critical Connections, the nonprofit organization, the Dialogues in partnership with the Karuna Center for Peace Building. Mass Humanities Dialogues Across Divides events are taking place on September 15th in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, September 28th in Amherst, Massachusetts, and you can find out more information, find out details by going to criticalconnections.org, criticalconnections.org. Thank you very much, Malika, for being with us and for certainly doing what you do and also sharing with us this morning in such detail. I so appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information by going to criticalconnections.org. Criticalconnections.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.